and I'll read the translations, and we'll do it together. Verse 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tamarindas Jagananga Salakaya Chakshara Militamina Tasmashi Ruvi Maha. So we'll read in unison 35 through 39. So let's start.
Hatva Kamsam Rangamaje Pratipam Sarasatvatam Yarahava Samagatya Krishna Satcham Karotita.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Text 36.
Ma kidyatam mahabhago draksyata krishna mantike antaridhi sabhutanam asti jyotir ivaidasi.
Translation. O most fortunate ones, do not lament. You will see Krishna again very soon. He is present in the hearts of all living entities, beings, just as fire lies dormant in wood. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Uddhava understood that Nanda and Yashoda were very impatient to see Krishna, and thus he reassured them that Sri Krishna would come soon.
Nayasyasti priya kaschin na priyo vaschamanina natamo natamo vapi samanasyashamo piva.
Translation. For him, no one is especially dear or despicable, superior or inferior, and yet he is not indifferent to anyone. He is free from all desire for respect, and yet gives respects to all others. Text 38.
Namata na pita tasya na bharya na sitadaya natmiyo na parashchapi na deho janma eva cha.
Translation. He has no mother, no father, no wife, children, or other relatives. No one is related to him, and yet no one is a stranger to him. He has no material body and no birth. Text 39.
Na chasya karma valoke sadasan mishayonishu kriyartam sopi sadunam paritranaya kalpate.
Translation. He has no work to do in this world that would oblige him to take birth in pure, impure, or mixed species of life. Yet to enjoy his pastimes and deliver his saintly devotees, he manifests himself.
Sattvam.
Okay, this one. Yeah, this one. We'll do it together. So,
Sattvam Rajas Tamasiti Bhajate Nirguno Gunam Kridanati Topi Gunai Shrujatya Avati Hanchaja. Sattvam Rajas Tamasiti Bhajate nirguno gunam kridanati topi gunai srijatya avati hanchaja.
Sattvam
rajas tamahiti bhajate nirguno gunam kridanati topi gunai srijatya avati hanchaja. Sattvam rajas tamahiti bhajate nirguno gunam kridanati topi gunai srijatya avati hanchaja.
Ladies.
Sattvam rajastama iti
bhajate nirguno gunam
kridanati topi gunai
shujatya
avati hanchaja sattvam goodness
raja
passion
tama
and ignorance
iti
thus called
bhajate
he accepts
nirguna
beyond the material modes
gunan
the modes
kridan
plain
atita
transcendental
api
although
gunai
using the modes
shujati
he creates
avati
maintains
Hanti,
and destroys.
Aja,
the unborn Lord.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
Although beyond the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the transcendental Lord accepts association with them as his play. Thus the unborn Supreme Lord utilizes the material modes to create, maintain, and destroy. I say, you say, although beyond the three modes of material nature,
goodness, passion, and ignorance,
the transcendental Lord accepts association with them as his play.
Thus the unborn Supreme Lord
utilizes the material modes
to create, maintain, and destroy.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Brahma Sutra 2.134, Lokavat Lila Kaivalyam, the Lord performs his spiritual pastimes as if he were a resident of this world. Although the Lord does not favor or abuse anyone, we still observe happiness and suffering in this world. The Gita 13.22 states, Karanam Gunasangasya, we desire to associate with various qualities of material nature, and thus we must accept the consequences. The Lord provides the field of material nature in which we exercise our free will. Foolish non-devotees not only attempt to cheat the Lord by trying to exploit his nature, but when they suffer the reaction, they blame God for their own misdeeds. This is the shameless position of those who are envious of God. So there's a lot of ground covered in these six verses, and I'll attempt to touch on all of them. We start out with Uddhava being sent to Vrindavan. Krishna sent him to Vrindavan in order to pacify Nanda Maharaj, Mother Soda, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and Radharani because of his absence. So Prabhupada describes when Nanda Maharaj returns without Krishna and Balaram, he uses the word pathetic. He said it's a very pathetic scene for him to come back without. So when Uddhava arrives, they're very happy to see him, and they greet them as is appropriate in Vedic culture by offering him a nice sitting place, by offering him, you know, a nice meal. And then Nanda Maharaj inquires about his welfare and the welfare of Vasudev and Devaki and Krishna Balaram. And Nandaraj explains that how happy they are that Kamsa has been killed, Kamsa and his brothers, because they were, you know, they were such a threat, and they were so envious of the Yadu dynasty. So he could see that, you know, how good that was. And he starts to talk to Uddhava about, you know, he asks them about his welfare, and then he inquires, does Krishna and Balaram, do they ever remember us? Do they remember their father and their mother? Do they remember the cowherd boys and the gopis? Do they remember Radharani? And he starts to reminisce, you know. He says, you know, wherever we go, you know, we we see Krishna, we think of Krishna. Like we go over here to Vamsivad, and we remember, the gopis remember where Krishna embraced them. And we go over here and we remember where Krishna played his flute. And we remember when Krishna joked with us. And so everywhere we go, we see the impressions of Krishna's footprints. And so we miss him so much, you know. We're so bereft without him. Actually, Prabhupada uses the word in Krishna book. Nandaraj says that wherever we go, we see Krishna's smiling face and his graceful look. He looks at us with grace, is the way he puts it. And that word really struck me, that word that he looks at it with grace, because I think that's why we all assemble here on a daily basis, you know, for Mangal Artik, for Guru Puja, for the various Artiks, because, you know, we sense that grace that we're receiving from the deities. So the residents of Vrindavan, they're very much missing that grace that they're experiencing when Krishna's present there. So he goes on the Maharaj, and he just starts reminiscing. Do you remember the time that Krishna, or we're so grateful to Krishna because he saved us from the forest fire, you know, by swallowing the entire fire, we were threatened, you know, all the animals were threatened, and he saved us from that. And he saved us when the Yamuna was being poisoned by Kaliya, and Kaliya was going to kill Krishna. He saved us from that. And who can understand how Krishna could kill Kamsa? Kamsa had the strength of 10,000 elephants, and Krishna defeated him. Like Narada Maharaj, when he's reminiscing and thinking about this, he's incredulous. Like, how was he able to do this? How could Krishna and Balaram, as small boys, how could they defeat Chinnar and Mustika? Or how could they take down the elephant, Kuvalayapita, so effortlessly? You know, playing games, running in between, you know, his legs, taking his tail, pulling it. And Nanda Maharaj, then he recollects, he goes, well, you know, Garga Muni, actually, he predicted that these boys would be very powerful and very famous, and they would come to the earth, you know, to perform very special duties. Perhaps they're great demigods who've come to execute these activities. Then he continues on in a very choked up voice, again remembering all the demons that appeared and how Krishna and Balaram defeated all the demons, like Pralambasura. You know, Pralambasura was even a little afraid of Krishna, but you know, Balaram got up on his back and he had the plan. All these demons were sent by Kamsa, but you know, Balaram was able to smash him. And Dainukasura, who no one was able to enter the Talavan forest, but when the coward boys complained to Krishna and Balaram, they had a plan. They went there and they completely decimated all the donkey demons. And Aristasura, the bull demon, when that demon charged Krishna threw him. He kind of went unconscious for a little bit, and then he came back with full force and explained that Krishna took Aristasura and he threw him, and it said it looked like a pile of wet clothing. That was the fate of Aristasura. Also, Trinavarta, who came as a whirlwind and attempted to kill Krishna. Krishna became so heavy, and Trinavarta actually tried to let him go, but Krishna was holding on so tightly that he was unable to let him go, and so he also was finished. And Bakasura, the duck demon who swallowed Krishna, and Krishna, he had to, because Krishna began to expand, he disgorged Krishna, and Krishna was able to finish him off. So Nanda Maharaj again just said, when we go to the banks of Jamuna, when we go to the lakes of Vrindavan, when we go to Govardhan Hill, where Krishna held the hill for so long, and the pasturing fields, we can't stop thinking about Krishna. So even though Krishna was theoretically not there, he was always there in Krishna's bhava expansion. And these residents of Vrindavan were so fortunate to be able to experience Krishna 24 hours a day by his lila and his pastimes. So anyway, ultimately Nanda Maharaj became so choked up that he couldn't speak anymore. He was unable to speak. And Mother Yasoda the entire time was just sitting there with tears flowing incessantly and milk pouring from her breasts out of such extreme affection for Krishna. And Uddhava was completely stunned. I mean, Uddhava was a very exceptional personality. It explains that he looked almost exactly like Krishna. He was a student of Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly planets, super intelligent, you know, very sharp-witted, and, you know, so many good qualities. So Krishna sent him to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, and his other reason for sending him there was for Uddhava to witness this very unconditional love and this that the residents of Vrindavan had. So Uddhava was completely stunned by seeing this scene, and he assures Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda that Krishna will come soon, that he'll come soon. And one of the reasons, it said expert devotees, you know, people become confused at why, you know, why is it that Krishna didn't go back to Vrindavan? Why did he, you know, cause this pathetic scene? But, you know, Krishna, one reason was because Krishna, he tries to increase the love of his devotees. And there's an example given, just like a pauper who gets lots of money, you know, he's very, very wealthy, and all of a sudden he loses it all. He just can't stop thinking of all the money he left. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they had Krishna in their midst for so long, and all of a sudden, you know, they don't have Krishna at all, so it intensified their love for him. And Uddhava was able to learn from that. And Prabhupada said how, you know, it's important for devotees, you know, to see this. And Prabhupada, you know, he explains that these devotees sacrificed so much for Krishna. You know, they gave up, and he explains that all devotees that give up, you know, so many of devotees in our midst, you know, have given up so much, you know, society, maybe, you know, potentially good jobs, you know, love, personal comfort, perform so many austerities for Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's movement. And there's the verse, yayatam mam prapadyante tamsta jiva bhavameham mama vart manuvartante manushu partasarvashaha. As they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Sanaprita. So, you know, Prabhupada explains that there's no loss. When you give your life to Krishna, Krishna's going to reciprocate. And so the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they don't have to worry that Krishna is there for them, and he's going to take care of them. And Prabhupada then really, he talks a lot about Lila Smaranam, this idea of remembering Krishna and remembering Krishna's pastimes. And Prabhupada recommends specifically Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, A Nectar of Devotion, as books that will enhance our Lila Smaranam. And that is our duty, that we want to be able to remember Krishna. Uddhava explains that, you know, Krishna is present everywhere, just as fire is present in wood, and that Krishna enters the hearts of all living entities. And a verse comes to mind, sarvasya chaham hridi san vishto mataksmirtir yanam apohanam cha vedaisya sarvaraham eva vedyo vedantikrit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says, I am in the heart of all living entities, and that I am remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. So this idea that Krishna, and that Srila Prabhupada gave us this was Prabhupada's plan, that he came here to give us this literature so we would be able to approach the level of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. Uddhava explained, and he said to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, you know, you, no one but you can meditate in such transcendental ecstasy. It's not possible for anyone to experience what you experience. You're with Krishna 24 hours a day. And Uddhava comments that if at the time of death a person can fix his mind upon Krishna, even for a moment after giving up his body, that he becomes eligible to appear in his original spiritual form, just as the sun rises with illumination. And that made me remember Narada Muni. It always struck me how in Bhagavatam, when Prabhupada describes Narada Muni's passing as lightning and illumination. So that's, you know, that's what we're striving for, you know, is to have more and more remembrance of Krishna. Prabhupada explains it, if it's very easy, if we experience this Lila Smaranam, at the time of death, our minds will automatically go to Krishna and will automatically go back home, back to Godhead. But on the other hand, if our minds are absorbed in fruitive activities, then it's only natural that at the time of death will also, you know, our minds will go to this fruitive activities, and so we'll take birth again, having to perform more fruitive activities. Prabhupada says, if we go on hearing that this Krishna book, this Lila Smaranam, that is our solace. And I have to say that, you know, I'm not a regular reader of Krishna book, unfortunately, you know. But just preparing for this class and reading Krishna book, it was so ecstatic. I was like, wow, why don't I do this more often? Why don't I read Krishna book more often? It's so wonderful. So if there's anybody like me who's not a regular reader of Krishna book, I highly recommend, you know, getting into it again, because it's so wonderful. Prabhupada said, it's so easy to remember Krishna. He says, if you drink water and remember Krishna, then you're on the platform of devotional service. Where is the difficulty? He says, but the rascals, they won't take it. They won't do it. You know, you say, will you just do this? They won't do it. So in the verse, it explains that even though there's so much information out there, so much help, the demons, they don't want to rise above the moment, the modes of material nature. They prefer to become immersed in the modes of material nature, and then when the reactions come from being caught up in the modes of material nature, then they blame God for it. Then they blame Krishna for it. So, you know, Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature. Ye chaiva sattvega bhava rajasas tamasas jaye yam ev jitan vidhi tam teshu tam mayi. Krishna says, everything is manifested by my energy, goodness, passion, and ignorance. I'm everything, but I'm independent. I'm not under the control of the modes of material nature. But on the other hand, we're very much under the control of the modes of material nature to the extent that we're not under Krishna's protection. So Prabhupada goes on, and he says, everyone drinks water. And as soon as you drink water, when you're thirsty, and the taste of water appeases your thirst, so you simply remember that in the Bhagavad Gita, it's stated that this is the taste of Krishna. So it's a beautiful verse, Rasoham Apsakantaya Prabhasami Sachi Surayo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabdike Putisham Nishu, where Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the syllable om in the Vedic mantra, I'm the ability in man. So we're fortunate. There's so many different ways that we're able to remember Krishna. You know, all throughout Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, there's so many verses. The whole 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about all the, you know, the different ways that Krishna appears. Krishna says of, you know, of fishes, I am the shark, of beasts, I am the lion, of birds, I'm Garuda. And then just different pastimes. Like, it's funny when devotees are buying clothing, or, you know, especially for their kids. Like, I was recently buying clothing for a baby shower, and, you know, immediately I went to the, you know, the clothes that had little elephants on it and little monkeys on it, you know, being reminded of Hanuman, being reminded of Gajendra. So there's so many different ways that we can remember Krishna. Krishna says, I'm the fragrance of the earth. I'm the heat and fire. I'm the penance of all ascetics. So many different ways. I'm the strength of the strong. I'm sex life, which is according to religious principles. So many ways to remember Krishna. In Krishna's universal form, Krishna says, you know, that his eyes are the moon, the sun and the moon. So everywhere we go, there's so many different ways that we're able to remember Krishna. And Prabhupada says, everyone should know at least that this human life is meant for developing Krishna consciousness. And if he knows, at least he gets its information. Just like we're broadcasting this information all over the world, you know, the class goes out, the books goes out in so many ways that everyone should be Krishna conscious. And if someone doesn't take advantage of it, then it's to be considered that they're drinking poison. Janiya Shunya Vishakainu. And that this is wonderful. Prabhupada says, so why is it so important? Why is it so important that this knowledge should go out? Why is it so important that this Krishna book, this Bhagavatam, this Bhagavad Gita goes out? And Prabhupada says, Goloka Premadana. Because it's coming from Goloka Vrindavan. This transcendental sound, this holy Maha Mantra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they're coming from Goloka Vrindavan. Just like you receive, and this is directly quoting Srila Prabhupada, just like you receive through a radio machine, news from a distant place, thousands and thousands of miles away. Now the instruments have improved. They're trying to get information from other planets also. That's nice. But there's another machine which can give you information of Goloka Vrindavan. That machine is nothing manufactured by the material scientists. But there is a machine. What is that machine? Does anybody know what that machine is? Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada said, that machine is the Guru Parampara, Evam Parampara Praptam. So in other words, you know, the information's coming down from Krishna, from personality to personality. And the more that we take the information ourselves, the more that we reject mundane information, the more we fill ourselves with this Lila Smaranam, the more we can begin to approach the level of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And, you know, especially at the time of death, in this community, we have such a big community that almost at any point there's someone that's being born, there's somebody that's dying, there's devotees who are sick. So, and it's our duty to be able to assist these devotees in all different ways and helping with this Lila Smaranam. You know, I was thinking how recently our most recent devotee to pass away was Chaitanya Narayan. And so many devotees were going to see him and reading to him and chanting with him. And I actually didn't know Chaitanya Narayan very well at all. I don't even know if I actually ever spoke to him. But I knew that he was passing away and I hadn't been to see him yet. And all of a sudden, it must have been super soul, I felt very inspired to go and see him. So I just kind of dropped everything and drove to the hospital. And when I arrived, the nurse was just coming out of the room and she said, I don't think he has much time left. She says, but you never know. And it's true. I know I've been in situations where someone's passing away and I thought it was going to be very soon and it might have been, you know, another week or another day or 2 days. So, you know, you really don't know. But I sat down with Chaitanya Narayan, introduced myself. Of course, he, you know, he wasn't externally conscious, but devotees, you know, people can always hear. They say sometimes they'll hear whole conversations when they come out of their coma, then they can relay the whole conversation. So introduced myself, and I shared with him how fortunate he was to, you know, give this life to Krishna, and how proud all the devotees were of him for being able to do that, you know, to give this life to Krishna, and that he didn't have to worry because there were so many devotees, and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada were on the other side, he didn't have to worry about leaving, you know. It was timely that he could go. And then I just chanted the prayers that I knew. You know, I just kind of chanted the prayers that I knew, the Brahmasamhita, and chanted the Sringa prayers. And I didn't know that Chaitanya Narayan had a special relationship with Lord Nisringadev, but when I was chanting the Nisringa Kavacha, that is when Chaitanya Narayan left. I arrived at 6 o'clock, and he left at 6:30. So it was very, you know, small time frame there. And I felt very fortunate to be able there to assist with that that passing. And I think we've all been in different situations with, you know, maybe our parents or other devotees. And it's such a special place that there's so many devotees that are able to go and read and propel these different devotees onto this platform of Lila Smaranam and give them that opportunity to be able to take their spiritual bodies. It's not easy to leave your body. You know, that's not an easy feat. There's one story I was reading recently about Didichi Muni. This story always really intrigued me, because in this story, Didichi Muni, a great sage, he was asked by the demigods to give his bones. They wanted to fashion a weapon in order to kill the demons, and they needed his bones. And Didichi Muni is like, what? You know, he said, how in the world, how can you ask me for something like that? It's so hard to give up your body, you know, and it's so painful, and you're asking me to give my bones. Actually, Didichi Muni was joking with them. Now, he could have cared less. He was so transcendental. So ultimately, he does give his body for this purpose. And Srila Prabhupada comments that, and so many acharyas, you know, Vishwanatha Chakravarti and, you know, Chanaka Pandit, they comment that how fortunate you are to be able to give up your body for a higher cause. So sometimes we see so many devotees, even in our movement, who have sacrificed so much, you know. They've worked so hard that you know, as elderly devotees, they're sick. Or, you know, their legs hardly work anymore. They spent so much time out on Sankirtan distributing books, or so much time on the altar, you know, making offerings. So never despair, because, you know, Prabhupada explained that, you know, the gopis are thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, but Krishna is also thinking of the gopis 24 hours a day. So Didichi Muni, it explained, when he left his body, he didn't even know it. And this is what completely blew my mind. You know, that somebody could leave their body, they could be so transcendental that he didn't even know when he left his material body and took his spiritual body. So I thought that was exceptional. And I read it, the story, a long time ago, and when I went to, when I took rest that night, it was really amazing, because I was thinking, how in the world could I ever become so absorbed in something that I wouldn't know when I left my body? How could that happen? But I had an amazing dream that night. It was very instructional. I dreamt that I was in a big lecture hall with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and I was like, wow, this is after Srila Prabhupada left. So I was like, wow, you know, Srila Prabhupada's here. And I was so fixed on every word that he was saying that at one point, I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know who was around me. You know, I was just so absorbed in looking and listening to Srila Prabhupada. And when I woke up, I realized that's how I can become 100% absorbed in Lila Smaranam, because there's also Srila Prabhupada Lila Smaranam. And this summer, I hadn't been to New York Rath Yatra for so many years. And when I was at Rath Yatra in 1976, that's when Srila Prabhupada led the first Rath Yatra down Fifth Avenue. And it was so amazing. It was so ecstatic to be pulling Srila Prabhupada and Lady Subhadra's cart, you know, down Fifth Avenue. So I was so happy to be there, and I was remembering so many, you know, incidents with Srila Prabhupada, because, you know, the Sankirtan devotees in Miami, there were four women, Nartaka Gopal, who's here, and Andarupa, and Haris Tanwanai. They flew us up to go to Rath Yatra. And I remember when I arrived, the first thing I asked was, where's Prabhupada? And they said, well, he's still here, but everyone's going out to the site. And I said, well, I don't want to go anywhere until I see Srila Prabhupada. So I sat there with another devotee, and I peddled flowers, thinking, okay, when Prabhupada gets here, I'll throw the flower petals on him. But actually, when Srila Prabhupada arrived, I was kind of thinking there'd be lots of fanfare or bikirtan, but all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada was right in front of me. And I went to pay my obeisances, and when I got up, he was already getting into the car. So I was like, darn, you know, all this time, you know, I want to do some service, and I missed my opportunity. So we got into a cab and followed Prabhupada, and when Prabhupada got out of the car, really miraculously that we were able to follow him through New York, but we were able to, you know, throw flower petals on Srila Prabhupada. So remembering these pastimes, and I had actually never been to 26 Second Avenue, so when I went in there, it's really amazing because we've heard so much about 26 Second Avenue and, you know, the different devotees, you know, Mukunda and you know, Garga Muni and so many devotees that were there, Pushkar Prabhu and... Oh, you weren't there. That, you know, I was remembering so many things, and then, you know, they had a younger devotee giving a tour, and then he took us outside to the courtyard, and he pointed upstairs to two windows. Those are the two rooms where Srila Prabhupada, you know, translated his books. And, you know, it's very overwhelming. It's very emotional. You know, when you think back of Srila Prabhupada's humble beginnings and everything that he went through, and even just walking through the streets of New York, I'd be thinking, wow, you know, I wonder if Srila Prabhupada walked this route. I wonder if he went this way. So not only do we have, you know, Krishna Smaranam, Lila Smaranam, we have, you know, Lord Chaitanya Lila Smaranam, we have, you know, we have Prabhupada, so many opportunities to remember the Lord and to remember the Lord's devotees. Actually, the one verse that we read today about how Krishna being present... It says, Krishna is present in the hearts of all living beings. And it said, just as the fire... This is actually Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He said, just as the fire within the wood is not visible without friction, Krishna is not visible without devotion. So it's by our devotion that Krishna appears. So the very funny thing is that when Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, when they heard this, this is what they said. This is a quote. Uddhava is telling us, if we don't perform devotional activities as the Vaishnavas do for Krishna, our son, why should he appear in our house? If that is the case, we must perform devotional service for our son so that somehow or other he will appear in our house. So this is how the greatest devotees ever are thinking, that they're not performing devotional service. So I thought that was extraordinary. And I think I'll stop here. If anybody has anything they'd like to add, maybe a way that they remember Krishna. You know, maybe there's so many examples of how Krishna appears. Or anything, you know, you want to correct or add, please, please do. Such a pleasure studying for this class. So nectar.
Regarding Lila Smarna, Trivikram Maharaj told us this story. It was in the early days, maybe 1968 or 1969. I think it was 68, he said. There was a room full of devotees that was having a darshan with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada picked out one devotee. And he goes, so, Ishan, are you remembering Krishna? And the devotee was kind of embarrassed, you know. He goes, well, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is all right. You just remember me remembering Krishna.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay, there's a question over here. Of course, Prabhupada also said that when we're performing our service, that's also, you know, it's also linking us.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Now Pushkar position is taking over.
Did you say
I said, Pushkar position has been taken over.
Anyhow, he's my inspiration.
The bodily concept, I mean, when you add that thing, I remember a worm. Vyasadeva noticed this worm crossing the road and a bull cart was coming. He says, wouldn't it be better for the bull cart to run you over in this miserable worm body? And then the worm says, my dear sage, when one is embodied, whatever body he has, he becomes attached to it. You know, whatever body he has, you know, he becomes very attached to it.
Yeah.
So we being becoming Krishna conscious or, you know, getting this knowledge, we can see how we can able to at least become a little detached. You know?
Yeah. And Prabhupada's so kind, you know. Prabhupada's so kind that he's promised, you know, to make up the difference. He's promised us that.
My name is Jivarajit Das. I'm a Prabhupada disciple, and I was a book distributor in New Orleans for like 12 years.
Wow, thank
and
you.
One night on Bourbon Street, I was shot while serving Sri Prabhupada, and I remember laying in the gutter with bullets in my belly, and I remember what to do with this experience.
Thank you. Yeah, practice makes perfect. So when you practice, then, you know, when the time comes, you're ready. So that is a wonderful story to share. I mean, even Gajendra in an animal body, when, you know, push came to shove and he's fighting with the alligator for whatever it was, thousands of years, I think, and he finally started to lose ground, he remembered the prayers that he learned in his past lifetime. Now that is some pretty powerful Lila Smaranam. And then Vishnu was able to come and save him. So everything that we're learning, that we're memorizing, you know, it will come to our aid.
I'm just wondering, when the disciples of Srila Prabhupada leave the planet, how will we do Prabhupada Lila Smaranam like this?
You mean you want them to talk about Prabhupada? Well, it's coming up. You know, Prabhupada's appearance day, so there'll be a lot of Prabhupada Lila Smaranam that day for sure. We used to have more regular sessions of that. Oh, when they leave the planet. Well, that's why it's important. That's why all the memory tapes, right? These devotees who, the conversation books and the memory tapes, that's why it's important that every Prabhupada disciple make sure that their pastimes are recorded. Right? It's essential.
We can do Lila Smaranam of the devotees who have passed away. So Prabhupada disciples are gone and we can remember your Prabhupada disciples.
That's true. Good point. Thank you for that. Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.